Let's start with what appears to be a fundamental shift in Middle Eastern dynamics. Iran and Israel exchanged direct strikes early this morning, marking the second breakdown of their April ceasefire agreement. The immediate trigger was Yemen's Houthis declaring a total ban on Israeli shipping through the Red Sea, not just attacks, but a complete prohibition on Israeli-flagged vessels transiting one of the world's most critical shipping lanes.
The economic implications are already visible in markets. South Korea's KOSPI dropped 8% before trading halts kicked in. And that's not just regional tensions, it's specifically about energy supply chains and shipping costs. About 12% of global trade flows through the Red Sea, and Israeli shipping represents a significant portion of that in terms of value, particularly high-tech exports and imported raw materials.
What's different this time is the coordination. Previous Houthi attacks were opportunistic strikes against individual vessels. This is a blanket prohibition backed by Iran's missile capabilities, which we saw demonstrated in this morning's exchange of fire. Iran hit Israeli positions near Haifa, Israel responded with strikes on Iranian naval facilities in the Persian Gulf, and now the Strait of Hormuz has seen renewed military confrontation between U.S. PLA and Iranian forces.
From a strategic perspective, this represents Iran testing whether the international community will enforce freedom of navigation when it conflicts with their broader geopolitical goals. The Houthis aren't just a proxy force. They control Yemen's western coastline, which means they can physically blockade shipping lanes. Previous U.S. and EU naval patrols focused on escorting vessels through dangerous areas, but you can't escort ships through a blockade without engaging in direct military action.
The financial markets are pricing in sustained disruption. Oil futures jumped 11% in overnight trading, but more telling is the reaction in shipping stocks and supply chain dependent industries. European airlines are particularly exposed because their fuel costs are now subject to both higher oil prices and potential supply shortages if Gulf shipping becomes unreliable.
Israel's response has been notably measured compared to their usual doctrine of overwhelming retaliation. They've closed all Gaza crossings, which affects humanitarian aid flow, but their military strikes targeted Iranian naval assets rather than escalating to Iranian mainland infrastructure. This suggests they're trying to contain the crisis regionally rather than trigger a broader Middle Eastern war that could draw in U.S. forces more directly.
The economic spillover effects are already manifesting in unexpected places. China's e-commerce exports fell for the fifth straight month, partly due to what analysts are calling an Iran war fuel shock, higher shipping costs making Chinese goods less competitive in European and American markets. When you add $8 per barrel oil price increases to existing inflation pressures, consumer spending patterns shift rapidly.
Looking ahead, the key indicator will be whether other regional powers choose sides. Saudi Arabia has remained notably silent, the UAE is continuing normal diplomatic relations with Iran, and Jordan's King Abdullah called for regional de-escalation without taking any concrete steps. If this remains an Iran-Israel bilateral conflict, markets can price it in. If it becomes a broader regional war involving Gulf states, we're looking at a fundamentally different global economic environment.